One of the things I think we need to realize about the Origin of Species and Darwin's other works, in fact, is that they attracted a very wide audience. This includes people from all different walks of life, from people who are importing wine to people who are actually engaged in laboratory research, from women who are teaching mathematics to young girls to people who are, say, trying to reform the political system in China. One of the purposes of this edition, and in fact, I think something that makes it quite unique, is that I've tried to gather together short extracts which illustrate the full range of reception, not just in Britain, not just in Europe, but really throughout the world. And so with this, we can see just the kind of way in which a whole range of different groups and different sorts of peoples tried to come to terms with Darwin. I think one of the most striking things about it is just the huge range of questions that Darwin opened up. It's easy to think of Darwin as somebody who gives firm answers, but the most interesting thing about The Origin of Species and The Descent of Man and indeed his personal autobiography are the kind of questions they open up. They make people think in interesting and different sorts of ways, and they make people debate. There is much a fissure, a kind of crack line across intellectual debate as they are huge monoliths that people have to confront. And so people are able to do interesting things with what they find in the books. Part of the purpose of including these is to encourage readers of this kind of edition not to think of Darwin just as a body of doctrine, but to think about it as a text that they too can actually grapple with when they're reading it. And they too can come up with their own answers to some of the questions using some of the materials that Darwin provides. One of the things, too, about the reception, I think, is we need to realize that it wasn't something that was just confined to when the books immediately came out. They had different receptions in different places, different countries, different times. And in particular, we can see just how much of the whole period before the First World War, the 50 years from the time Darwin publishes until the 50-year celebrations of the publication, just the range of international debate that's actually going on. Darwinism during this period becomes effectively a global phenomenon. We think of globalism today as something that's because of the internet and so forth. But in fact, in the late 19th century, this was really, in some ways, the first great age of globalism. And whereas we have the internet, they had the telegraph and an incredibly active postal system, so that newspapers, letters, telegraphs were flying around the world. Some of the places that Darwin had visited on the Beagle Voyage that in the 1830s literally took weeks or months to get to and for news to come and finally arrive there. By the time of Darwin's death, it's possible to learn about Darwin's death, you know, in some cases 24 hours after it's been announced in London. So just as today we feel like the shape and size of the world is actually changing, the same thing was true in the late 19th and early 20th century, the period where we can really see the Darwinian revolution taking hold.